This morning, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus and find chapter 12. That's in the beginning of the Bible. Now, normally I turn pages when I read scripture, but because I got a lot of scripture to read and we're on a time schedule, I'm not going to do that. I've got them down here, and you can look at them from my computer. It says King James, okay? So hang with me. They're all King James. But I'm going to read them off of a sheet, and it'll speed things up just a little bit. Let's begin in verse 1 of the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the household of their fathers, a lamb for household. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of it raw, nor sodden, boiled at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs and his pertance, entrails thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I want you to get that. He says, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. The name I am that I am, that he gave to Moses out in the desert at the burning bush. He's going to do it. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Father, you instituted something here that's looking forward to a time when through this people you would bring a Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he would be that lamb that would die for us, that we might have forgiveness of our sin, and that we might have everlasting life. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. This is judgment as well as deliverance. God is going to judge the nation of Egypt, and he's going to judge it severely. Every firstborn child will die, adults as well as children. Every firstborn animal will die. There will be such death in the land of Egypt like has never happened before. And for every Israelite that does not put the blood on the doorpost, they will be struck also. Just because you're a child of Abraham doesn't give you a free ride. You've got to be covered by the blood of Christ. And just because you're in the house and think you're safe and you're eating, but there's no blood covering you, you're not safe. God made a way of deliverance then, and God's made a way of deliverance for today. But you got to be under the blood of Christ to be delivered. If you're not under the blood of Christ, judgment rests on you. We're going to ask some questions, and we're going to try to answer them quickly. First of all, how significant was this Passover for this nation? Well, it's absolutely significant. God said, this will be now the first month of your calendar year. It is our March-April time frame. And that is the beginning of the Jewish year. Not January, not February, not December, not November, but Nisan. That's the Babylonian calendar name. They had a significant moment in their life. They were slaves. They were under warlords. They were under the whip. They could be killed if they didn't obey. They didn't have freedom. They couldn't just do whatever they wanted to do. They couldn't tell their child when it was born and growing up, son, daughter, you can be whatever you want to be. They couldn't tell them that. You're going to be a slave when you grow up. You're going to work for Pharaoh. You're going to work for Pharaoh's house. Whoever he puts over you, you got to work. If you don't work, they'll beat you. If that don't work, they'll kill you. They weren't free. But with this Passover institution, if they had blood on their doorpost, they were going to be covered, and they were going to be delivered, and they were going to be free. And it was a new beginning for them, a new life for them, a new way for them, new hope, a bright tomorrow. I love what 2 Corinthians, I've quoted it several times, and I love it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that when we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. It's not tough. We get a new beginning. We get a life change. We just don't join a church. We're birthed into the family of God by the Spirit of God, and we're covered by the blood of Christ. And there's coming a judgment day when we stand before Almighty God, and we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, our King. And we're covered by the blood. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And folks, I don't know how they wrote it in, but it would not surprise me if it's not written in blood. It's there. If you're a believer in Christ, your name's there. But if you're not, your name's not there. Who was to observe this? The people of God. The people of God. He made a people. Descendants of Jacob. Even though Jacob had a wild lifestyle. I mean, he had children by multiple women. And they didn't get along. The two sisters didn't get along. The two handmaidens didn't get along. You want to talk about a dysfunctional family? Read it. There it is, man. It don't get any more dysfunctional than that. They were ready to kill Joseph. They were dysfunctional. But down there in Egypt, they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, and they had the land of Goshen, and they raised livestock, and they were slaves. But the people of God, God's own people, the one he chose, they were to observe it. Now I want you to notice how they were to observe it. They were to observe it one family at a time. Each family with their kids, the father's house, they're still alive, were to observe the Passover. And if there was too small a household, two neighbors or three neighbors got together and they observed it in a house. Why? Because they were to consume all the food that night. And what wasn't consumed was to be burned. Now they ate the lamb. They ate it. But the people of God were the ones that were to do it. And you and I come to the Lord's Supper. It's the people of God. We understand the blood. We understand the body of Christ. Jesus said, I give my body for you. It's broken for you. I shed my blood for you. He didn't shed it for himself. He didn't die for himself. He died for you and me and anyone else who will call upon him. He died for the world. He died for mankind. He died for us. And at the foot of the cross, this is the hardest thing for us to get a hold of in this culture. But at the foot of the cross, there's no ethnic of any kind. No black, white, yellow, or purple. There's no nationality of any kind. No American, Russian, or Ukrainian, or Japanese, or Chinese. There is none. Now hang on here. Get a hold of yourself. There's no male or female either. You're saved or lost. And when you get the glory, there's no male or female. We like the angels. Jesus said that when they asked him about, well, whose man she going to marry? She's had seven husbands. Jesus said, you don't know scripture. When you get to heaven, you'll be like the angels. You'll be serving Jesus instead of one another. I get concerned when people are more excited about meeting a loved one than they are meeting Jesus in heaven. People of God. Now, what were the qualifications? Well, first of all, he's got to be a year old. He's got to have some maturity to him. Little lamb. Second, it can't have any faults. None at all. Got to be a male. No faults. He can't have no dysfunction about him. He got to be healthy. You can take him from the sheep or goats. Now you do it on the 10th day and you kill him on the 14th day. What do you do with him in between? I mean, do you leave him out there where the ram might lay one on him and hurt him? No. You don't put him with the donkey, he might get kicked. What do you do with him? You bring him into your house. He ain't coming into my house. You might find the judgment of God on you if you don't get him in there. I grew up with sheep and lambs and different things, and sometimes the ewe would die. And the lamb, time you found that the ewe had died, the lamb had milk for 2 or 3 days. And Dad would bring them in by the wintertime. What always happened in the wintertime? By the wood stove, warm them up, and we'd give them milk. And us kids had the responsibility then of taking care of him. Dad built a pen, put heat lamps out there on him, and we had to take care of him. Oh, we'd get attached to that little motor. We'd butt heads with him and stuff. Dad said, don't do that, he's going to grow up. We didn't pay any attention. I remember Mama getting wiped out. Boy, we about got wiped out. She got blindsided and it upended her like you wouldn't believe. You can attach that little lamb in 4 days. They're so cute when they're little. I mean, they're just as cute can be. And then what are you going to do with that lamb? You're going to get out the knife and cut its throat and catch the blood and watch it stand there and quiver and shake and die, hit the ground and do the death kick. That's a lamb you grew to like. That's a lamb that's important to your family. And the kids who play with it, watching it die. Watching its blood go. And they're probably watching Dad skin it out. And prepare it to be roasted. The entrails were in it when they roasted. They bled it, but that's all. Because they're not supposed to eat the blood, because life is in the blood. Now listen to what Peter has to say to us about Christ. 1 Peter 1:17 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or way of life received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Passover lamb was crucified for the future when Christ would be crucified. Death comes in many ways. Jesus bled. He bled out. He died. There on the cross. No one killed him. No one took his life. His blood was shed for you and shed for me. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You and I don't have to pay for our sin. I'd hate to pay for my sin. I couldn't do it. It'd be for all of eternity. I couldn't do it. Jesus Christ took the judgment. Now, what did that little lamb do? He didn't do nothing but love that family. I mean, they get attached to you. Everywhere you go, they go like a little dog. They're all around you all the time, under your feet. We'd have to kick him out of the milk barn. He went in there with his kids. They do that. And they didn't do nothing but love people. And he died for people. What did Jesus do? Nothing but love people and heal people and give and give and give. And then he gave his life for you and me. He said, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive adoption as sons. You know, we were not a people, but now we are a people. We didn't belong to the lineage of Abraham, but now, because we've been spiritually birthed into the family of God, we are descendant of Abraham by spiritual birth. Because we believers. Abraham was a believer. Paul said, not everybody that's a Jew is really a Jew. It's those who believe that are true Jews. Jesus went to the cross for you and me. Now, they took every bit of the lamb. That was the instructions. You eat it all. You don't leave any till morning. If you don't get it all eaten, you got to burn the rest of it. The sacrifice is total. It's not partial. The problem I have, and I'm guessing, because we humans and we have a similar strain running through us, you have the same problem. The Bible says in Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know what I keep trying to do? Once I do that, I lay myself on the altar, I want to climb off. When you lay yourself on the altar, you die to your own rights. You die to your own will. You give yourself totally and completely to the will and direction of God. And I find myself every once in a while getting backdoored by the devil in tempting me, and I bite onto it. I mean, Bill, he's the best fisherman there is in the world. He knows exactly what bait you'll bite on. You don't have to try two or three lures out of your tackle box to see if they're biting. He throws right the first time. And then he wiggles it. And you, he goes, I got him. You see, the sacrifice is total, not partial. And it's not easy. I'm not painting an easy picture, but with the help of the Holy Spirit and the enablement of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, you can do it. I mean, I'm better than I used to be. I'm not perfect. And it's no excuse. I won't be perfect till I get to heaven, but I'm trying better and I'm working at it harder. And I think we all do that. The older we get, we realize time really is short. When I was 30, I thought I had the world by the tail and the downhill slide that had been greased. And then I got 50 and 60 and thought, Lord, where did time go? I slid the wrong way. Should have been had my eyes open sooner. He says here, the purpose. Now I want you to get that. Again, verse 12 and 13, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. What was God's purpose? God's purpose was to bring judgment on false religion. God's purpose was to destroy the belief in false gods. God's purpose was to set his people free. And God's purpose at the cross was to free anybody and everybody who would confess Christ as Lord and Savior from the power and dominance of sin and death and give them victory over the prince and power of the air, Satan himself. Now, I don't go around talking to him, Satan. I learned my lesson a long time ago about that. I may have told you. I pastored a church one time and they were having church trouble. And I thought, well, Satan's in there just stirring stuff up. So I go out to the garage and I have a talk with God. Then I have a talk with Satan. I said, you just come on, buddy. I'll whip you every which way but loose. Biggest, stupidest thing that ever crossed my lips. And here's why. God said, now wait a minute. You ain't whipping nobody. I do the whipping. And he just pulled his hand back and let Satan have me. You don't want that to happen. Because he'll whip you every which way but loose until you call back on the name of the Lord and send Jesus to the door. And he'd take care of it. God frees us from his dominance over our life. I don't have to bite on this temptation. I can say no. One of the things I use a lot in saying no is, I say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't think this comes from God. And it goes away. But it doesn't stay away. He finds another way to backdoor me. You got to be on your guard. Peter said, be alert. He roams around like a lion looking to something pounce on. So you and I got to be alert. He don't play fair. Never has. Never will. But Jesus does, and he always will, be fair with you. Call on him. God said, I'm judging unbelievers. I'm judging false gods. But my people who have the blood on the doorpost, I will not judge. It wasn't just the Israelites. If some Egyptians were believers and put blood on the doorpost, God wouldn't judge them either. You see, when you're covered by the blood, you're no longer under condemnation. You are free. God sent his son into the world that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his son not to condemn the world
but that the world might be saved, free. But to those who believe not, they are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you believe, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe, you are condemned. I didn't say that. God did. He has the final say-so, folks. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I ask you to come today. I ask you to come to Him. Call upon Him. Bible says, for all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. What a passage. You come, you call, you'll be saved. You may want to get right with the Lord, because we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And Paul said to the church at Corinth in the 11th chapter, he said, now there are some of you in that church who've been taking the Lord's Supper wrongly. You haven't cleaned up your life before you took it. And some of you sick. And some of you died because you've mishandled the Lord's Supper. Just come with a clean slate. And you can do that. It's so easy for Christians. And why we don't more often, I don't know. But if we are faithful to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Oh, get a clean slate. Get that burden off of your shoulders.